Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors, wherever you may be disrupting. Hi, I am Coach Nick, and the Dudes of Disruption, committed to disrupting your automatics. Today's show is episode 118, Words Matter. You can catch all 117 episodes on Podomatic and iTunes by researching Dudes of Disruption. You are, yes, listening to Coach Nick. I'm Coach Nick, and you're here with the Dudes of Disruption. I am Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed lead disruptor. We're here to awaken humanity, everybody, so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture, team dynamics, and personal development. We run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you want to know more about our men's group, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. What's really big for our men's group right now is we're taking a service trip. 23 of us are taking a service trip to Haiti. We are committed to raising $25,000, that's 2-5, for the construction of a new library and for scholarships for the Hearts in Haiti School. If you're interested in donating, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com.
I will send you
the Everyday Hero link for our donation platform. We also have in Long Island, New York, on March 8th, which is this Thursday, an event that's coming up. So please donate. Again, Everyday Hero platform. I'll email it to you from coachnick@coachnick.com. I also run a political social action group called Cocktails with Conviction. If you want to get involved around politics and have some fun, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com for more information about Cocktails with Conviction. In studio, who was just whispering, donate. What were you just whispering?
Donate now. Donate now.
To Hearts in Haiti School, right, for our fundraiser. That's Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant. Sam, welcome.
I know that, dude. Oh,
thank you, Nick.
So today's show is Words Matter. Mm-hmm. We throw them around without realizing, Sam, sometimes just how much power they hold.
Mm-hmm.
The discussion in this episode will include what we say and don't say and how that can be an indicator of our core beliefs about ourselves, about the world, about the people around us. It actually is a way to reveal what we really believe. And if you pay enough attention to people's language, mm-hmm, of what they say and what they don't say, you'll know exactly where they're coming from because they're giving themselves away through language.
Absolutely. You can tell all the time from the language people use whether they're feeling empowered or disempowered. Are they being a victim? Are they being a creator of their life? It's actually, if you pay attention, it's very apparent.
Yes, and language reveals what our eye is on and what it's not on.
Yes.
Because what we talk about is what we're focused on. And one of the things to consider for the disruptors out there is, what are you spending your time talking about?
Right.
Is the glass half full or is it half empty, and not from a place of something's wrong? Right. Rather, what's your perspective? Because that's what you're speaking, right? And that's what you're then creating through language.
I always say the glass is completely full no matter what. Because if it's not filled with water or wine, it's filled with air the rest of the way. So it's always filled with something.
I love it. That is Sam Leibowitz dropping some early, early, early knowledge. I love it. Boom, as they say. Early disruption. So, Sam, we start every episode with a quote to help set a context. Mm-hmm. This one is from Mark Twain.
Ah,
we've all heard of Mark Twain.
Samuel Clemens.
All Samuel Clemens. I really believe this really helps to set a context for our conversation. The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug.
Mm.
The difference between the right word and the almost, we're almost there, right word, is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, that's huge.
Zap.
That's huge, actually.
That is very huge.
I mean, if you can actually take that quote, like dig into it, to me, it lands on me like, that's the game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, in my years of consulting, coaching, facilitating, again, I'm giving you my perspective, right, in all my years, and there have been quite a few at this point.
Right.
What I have found is that great leaders use language as their tool, as their ally to create their reality, to create their environment, to create their culture, and to create the future that their teams will live and grow and move towards. And they use language to do that. I believe it's the game changer, because if you're desiring something as a leader, make it happen through language.
It's the game creator, actually.
Woo! Sam, that's number two, man. You're on a roll. I love it.
I got more.
You got more.
I mean, speaking of lightning, I was just at this comedy show last night for one of my hosts, and one of the guys talked about this man who got hit, the record for being hit by lightning and surviving the most amount of times. This guy in Virginia got hit 7 times by lightning.
Wow.
He's either the luckiest man in the world because he survived 7 times, or the unluckiest man
in
the
world. Well, it depends on how you view it, right?
Right, and it depends how do you describe it.
Yeah, and how you describe it, right. Especially for him.
Right.
Because there's something that he's creating through language that has him actually get hit 7 times.
Right, exactly. Though the comedian said at the end, the joke was he ended up at 71 killing himself.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, nice. So the disruption during this episode is that words matter. Words are everything. That there Absolutely. Are no throwaways. There are Absolutely. No throwaway words or throwaway moments. Like, you know what? They're not going to notice that. Or we can just say whatever we're going to say. Or just finish the sentence so we can move on, or so we can send that email. To me, the most important element for a leader, I really believe this in my heart, and this is why I wanted to talk about it for a few minutes here, is to be intentional and to be deliberate about the words that you use, the declarations that you make, the commitments that you set, the statements that you make, the sentiments that you share, what you talk about, how you talk about it, who do you talk about? How do you talk about them? Because they will create the environment and the culture. Right. And your good news is that if you can get clear about the kind of environment, the kind of team, the kind of dynamic, the kind of relationship, the kind of culture that you want both at home with your family, in your community, or at work with your team or with your company, you can do that through language.
Absolutely. And even the smallest of words have the biggest impact. As an example, someone explained to me a while ago the word but.
Yes.
The word but pretty much says totally ignore everything I said before this word.
Yes.
So when you're trying to make a point and it's, oh, and, you know, so-and-so did this and this and that, but.
Right.
Totally throw out everything you just said before that, but he did this. Or
yes.
But she did that.
Yes.
As opposed to using the word and.
Yes.
So I've actually, for the most part, have completely removed the word but from my language as much as I can.
Well, and I also believe but, at least the way I experience it, this is, you know, B-U-T,
yes.
Right? How I experience but is that it also puts a stop to creativity and exploration.
Right.
Sam, you're a great guy, but.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, I mean.
So I'm no longer a great guy.
Right. You're no longer a great guy. And you know what? I'm no longer willing to explore who you are or what magic you can bring and, exactly. and create. Right. And so there is a difference between the word but and folks who are listening might say, really? A 3-letter word makes that big of a difference? And I'm going to say, yes, absolutely. You know, we get caught up way too much often in the strategy and the business plan and the budget planning and the leadership retreat and the goal setting, right? And yes, do all those things. They're important. They're clearly important. And guess what? Your language will make any one of those things, like your strategy and your business plan and your budget plan, operate with velocity and operate in a different way when you have a certain kind of language.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I want to talk about as it relates to that is, you know, we in business and at home, we take actions. And we are in the doing, and we're always making choices, even when we think we're not making choices, that's clearly a choice in itself, right? So we're always in that doing, taking actions, making choices. And one of the things I want to offer folks is when we're taking those actions or making those choices, are we taking those actions and making those choices from a mindset that's operating in the past? Or are we making those choices and taking those actions from a future that we want to create? So let me give you an example, Sam. So I think that often folks, most folks, and this is the opportunity for leaders, leaders in business, leaders in our families, leaders in our communities. Often, folks, when they're about to take an action, they will operate from a place of, well, what have we done in the past? Or what's occurred in the past? And what starts to happen is you start to really recycle the same conversation. You start to recycle the same thoughts. You start to recycle the same concerns. You start to recycle the same ideas. You might even get into a judgmental place, a critical place, a criticizing place. Here's what we've always done place, right?
Right.
Again, it's not a matter of, I'm not judging that. What I'm saying is that if you're going to take an action operating from the past, you're basically bringing the past into the present.
Right.
And so that creates a different kind of experience.
And it depends. Like, if what happened in the past was successful and great and people loved it, maybe you do want to bring that with you. But if, or, and,
right.
And if what you did in the past was not so successful, there were mistakes made, it didn't turn out as successful as the team wanted, then bringing that into the present might not be the thing that serves you the most.
Right. And so let me say this. So the disruption here and the offer is to really operate from a place of the future. What is it that I want for my family? What is it that I want for my team here in my company? What is it that I want to create in my community, right? Have the future dictate the choices you make today. The decisions that you make, the doing, the actions, right? Let that be. In essence, go and it's all made up anyway. So go create a future that you're desiring, that you really believe is right, that will make the difference or produce the result that you're wanting it to produce. Now, if there's something that you've done in the past that you think applies to getting you to the future, then great.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think the difference between the two, the experience at least, what I want to offer when I've done this with teams, is that often when we're operating in the past, where we're recycling a conversation or ideas, often there's a little bit of a heaviness. There's a little bit of we sort of go into that automatic, if you will. We're sort of coasting a bit versus, hey guys, I want to create a future that actually does not exist right now.
Right.
They don't have a name for it.
Right.
There's a different level of excitement. There's a different level even of anxiety. There's a different level of eagerness. There's a different level of awakenness. Is that a word, Sam? Awakenness?
We'll make it one now.
We'll make it now. Or awareness. There's a different level of that, right?
Consciousness.
A different level of consciousness, right? So when you're standing in a future that does not exist right now, what you're actually doing, and you're speaking from that place, because it's all through language,
right?
The future becomes like a magnet that's pulling everybody with velocity. Look, you're going to take an action and you're going to make a choice. We do that all day long. The question is, do you do it from a frame of mind that's operating in the past or one that's looking towards the future and creating something, again, that doesn't exist? Because that can be really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you're operating from the future, I think one of the things that you eliminate or don't make any room for is what's called learned helplessness. Now, learned helplessness, to give just a very quick definition, learned helplessness is really operating from a place of victimhood, actually being a victim, being reactive. Things are happening to me and I have no power over them, right?
Right.
And so through language, you can create a future for people that says, really almost, eliminate what's happened up until now.
Right.
We can make something else up.
Right.
We can do something about it. I mean, look at the kids in Parkland, Florida. Right? They're not operating from a past-based frame of mind, right?
Absolutely.
Which would say, here's how our nation, here's how our government has operated related to gun control. And I'm not here to comment on is gun control, what gun control should be or what the Second Amendment is or isn't, all that. What I'm merely trying to say is that what I do think is admirable is that their actions today are not being dictated by what's happened in the past, good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
They're literally, they've created a through language, they've said, think about what they've said, this is the last one.
Yeah.
We are the last one.
Right.
And through language, they're taking a stand.
Right.
They're taking a stand, and that's pulling them and everyone else forward.
Right.
And by the way, they've set this date on March 24th to have this big march around the country.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's all done through language. When you set a date like March 24th, that's what I mean. Earlier when I said you create your future through language, through declarations, through commitments, through statements, by setting a date.
Right.
They're creating a possibility or a new possibility that wasn't there before.
Right. They're like you said, they're drawing a line in the sand. They're taking their vision and saying, this is it.
Yes. Now, again, so what's an example of language that helps to create a future that doesn't exist? Well, to me, it's, simply put, it's through a vision statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's through sharing with your family, with your team, your company, with your stakeholders, your clients, your why, like why you do what you do, your higher purpose,
right.
Making commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, holding people accountable to those commitments,
right.
And making really clear commitments,
right.
Because in those commitments is what's going to then drive the choices and the decisions and the doings, right?
Right.
Making declarations,
right.
And making really loud declarations, making really... really important declarations, making really bold ones, creating, having people brainstorm, having people imagine what's possible, all through language.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with you, the leader. Regardless if you're the leader in your business, mm-hmm. you're a leader in your community as an individual or community leader, or you're a leader at home as a person that's involved in their family. Now, I want to reference, you mentioned some words between but and yes, or for that matter. There's an article that I found that I think expresses a little bit of that as well, in Inc. magazine, and it's written by Sylvia LaFaire. And here are some changes that she suggests in language that I believe will make a major difference, right, as a leader at home, at work, or in your community. So she'll say she's offering a few that I want to share with the disruptors out there. She says or suggests just say thank you to others without lots of qualifiers.
Yes, that's a good one.
Right? Now, I think as a leader, creating an environment through language such as thank you and please potentially gives you a possibility of creating a culture of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Of inclusivity,
mm-hmm.
of empathy, of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of research that says those two words or those two mm-hmm. sentiments, thank you and please,
mm-hmm.
has if not the most, some of the most or greatest impact on us,
mm-hmm.
that it's really positive and really forwarding when you're using language like thank you and please, both verbally and on email. Because by the way, language is created in your text messages, on email.
Absolutely.
In your conversations, at a town hall meeting, in a staff meeting, in a one-on-one, right?
Right.
Even in a handwritten post-it note, for that matter.
Right.
Why do you think, Sam, thank you and please?
It is the oil that greases the wheels. It's what makes everything go smoother. People feel better. They feel seen, heard, respected. We feel better. It just totally makes like any... kind of friction more easy to get through.
Absolutely. And the other is that since we were, 2 feet, 3 feet high and we could talk and sort of have, some level of consciousness and awareness of the world, right? What are we taught from our parents and from our guardians and from our older siblings?
To say thank you.
Say thank you and please. So we have this positive association with those words. And so for those of you out there listening to the podcast and you're saying, is it really that simple? Yes. It's actually that simple. I mean, we overcomplicate things. Like,
absolutely.
It must be harder. We need to create another spreadsheet. I mean, go ahead and do that. And by the way, say please to the person who's going to help you do it, and thank you to the person who helps you do it.
Exactly. It's like everyone's looking, what's the secret? What's the secret? There is no secret. Say please and thank you. It's that simple and easy.
The article in Inc. magazine goes on to say, here's some changes in language. Here's another one, Sam. Saying, how can I support you or help you instead of just do it my way? What do you think that creates for people, Sam?
Oh, just do it my way? I mean, that's like enslaving people.
Right.
It's like saying, look, I'm the master. Shut up and just do what you're told. And that's very disrespectful.
Yeah. I think it also implies partnership. that, you know, I really want to support you here. I really want to be in partnership with you. Yes, I want you to do something, or there's a result or an outcome that I'm wanting to create, or something of that nature. And I'd like to know how I can play a part in supporting you. Or if it may be at work, if you're managing somebody, how can I support you in moving from point A to point B? Because that then creates loyalty, because someone says, oh, they're really interested in my success. Mm-hmm. Here's another one that the article in Inc. magazine shares. And the article is called Learn the Five Key Elements of Powerful Leadership Language. Mm. Say, here's something to think about, rather than here's what I want. Mm. What does that create?
I like that.
Here's something to think about rather than here's what I want. What I often say is, here's something to consider, or would you consider? Because I think that what that often creates for folks is, let's go on the yellow brick road and explore this.
Right. It creates a certain amount of openness, a certain amount of a freedom, of ability to be able to go out there and look at things a little differently.
Exactly. Here's the fourth or fifth. What do you think will work? Not it'll never happen. So saying, what do you think will work? Not right. It'll never happen.
Right, being more solution-oriented, not problem-oriented.
Yes, and it's also implying I have trust in you. Right. What do you actually think, Sam?
Right, but it's also giving people the opportunity to, let's say, maybe we don't see a way around an issue, but maybe somebody else does.
Yes.
And we're not inside their head, so we don't know. So by being open and giving and using open language of, like, can you see a way around this?
Yes.
You're giving them the opportunity to be creative and to contribute.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the fifth of five of this article, Learn the Five Key Elements of Powerful Leadership Language, is what do you think, rather than here's how I see it, or here's how I want it, for that matter. Mm. What do you think? Again, I believe that creates an experience of your opinion matters.
Right.
Gallup, which is a leader in the world of engagement, that's one of their 12 questions. It's not worded that way, but basically, you know, do my opinions at work matter? Do they count? Mm. Because based on their research, people who feel like my opinion matters and what I have to say matters creates a higher engaged individual, which creates a different kind of result for your business and for your family, for that matter.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because when people feel like they're not being dictated to, when they're being included in the conversation, when they're being included in the possibilities of what can happen, then they're more invested.
Yes.
Then they feel their contribution not only matters, but makes a big difference with what's going on.
And think about it again, folks. I just rattled off five very short sentiments, right? Five questions, if you will, five statements. And those questions create a certain kind of environment, a certain kind of dynamic in your relationship, a certain kind of culture. And it's all done by five or six words.
Right.
What do you think, instead of this is how you're going to do it?
Right.
That little shift makes a difference in the kind of experience people are having.
Right.
The question for the global tribe of disruptors out there is, what does your language reveal about you? What does it reveal about you based on what you're saying, and not from a place of judgment that you're good or bad or doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Rather, what is your language revealing about you?
Right.
What beliefs does it reveal about you?
Right. Does it show that you're more optimistic or less optimistic? You're more positive about the future, you're less positive about the future?
Yes.
Again, no judgment around it, but it's just, where are your eyes pointed?
Yes.
Where is your focus? You can see your focus is very apparent from how you talk about things.
And I believe as a leader, again, both at home as a parent, if you have kids, or you're at work as a manager, or you work with colleagues closely on projects, people will give away their level of fear, their level of anxiety, their level of frustration, their level of not believing something can get done through their language. They'll reveal themselves. People
Absolutely.
Give themselves away through language. And so if you want to know how engaged people are, or how much they believe they can produce a project, or if your kid is upset about something that's happened at school or with you, you know, out in the backyard, they will reveal themselves through their language.
Absolutely.
They will basically say, just pay attention.
Right.
It's actually one of the easiest things a leader can do is to pay attention to what people are saying and not saying, or what they keep saying over and over and over again.
It's the difference between truly listening to somebody and just hearing what they say. Because lots of times we hear what people say, but we're not really listening.
Yes, exactly. So, Sam, before we go to parting shots, a couple of shout-outs here. The dudes are on social media, Sam. You can catch the Dudes of Disruption on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption. You can follow us on Twitter, DOD Talk Radio. You can also get us on Instagram, Dudes of Disruption. If you want to know more about our men's group, who, again, are taking a service trip to Haiti later this month in March, and who are also raising $25,000 for a new library and for scholarships, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. We have a political social action group called Cocktails with Conviction. If you want to know more about how you can stay involved around politics while having fun, yes, you can do that. Email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. And if you want personal coaching, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. You can find our podcast, all episodes, Due to Disruption, on iTunes and on Podomatic. Sam, what would be your parting shot?
Well, I just want to ground this a little bit for all those people out there who think this is all so woo-woo. I just want to remind people that when we speak, our vocal cords make sounds through vibration.
Yes.
And all of the latest research in physics is everything is vibration in this world. That matter is not as solid as we like to think it is. That these little tiny things that make us up, these atoms, these particles, these things, they act more like waves than they do like particles at times.
Yes.
So our vibration, the sound coming out of our mouth, makes a difference in this physical reality.
Love it, Sam. And Sam, how can folks find you? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant.
TheConsciousConsultant.com. You can listen to my radio show every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Thank you for being part of the disruption.
Thank you so much, Nick.
And for dropping some disruption throughout the episode.
Boom.
Boom, boom, boom. My offer, my parting shot starts with an offer, which is to really pay attention to what you're saying, what you're not saying, how often you talk about things or people or situations, and equally to pay attention to what others are talking about, who they're talking about, how often they talk about it. Because I think that in itself, if you can do that exercise and actually take inventory, like literally write down on a journal what you're saying and not saying and how often and by about who, and same with the people around you, that in itself will make you a more effective leader, because you will be more awakened, which is what our show is about, to be awakened, right? And to be more aware and connected to the world. And you'll be paying attention to what the people at home and at work, the people around you, actually need from you, need more from you or less from you for that matter. So please do that exercise now, like capital N-O-W, because I think that's the secret. I watched The Black Panther for the second time.
And great movie.
Great movie. And I watched the second time this past Sunday with my older son. And I want to take the last line or the last piece from the movie that King T'Challa?
T'Challa.
Okay, thank you, Sam. What he says at the Vienna...
At the UN or
the
something?
UN or all the world leaders are together. Yeah. And again, this is an example of not paying attention to what's happened in the past. Mm-hmm. Because in the past, his country operated in a certain way.
Right.
In the past, his country interacted with the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. And he came to this United Nations meeting with all the world leaders and basically said, I'm creating a new future, one that doesn't exist, mm-hmm. right? Or one that I'm making up, because by the way, folks, it's all made up. That's your good news. So let me share with you what he said at the very end of the movie. We will work to be an example of how we as brothers and sisters on this earth should treat each other. Now, more than ever, the illusions of division threaten our very existence. Mm-hmm. We all know the truth. More connects us than separates us. Mm-hmm. But in times of crisis, the wise build bridges while the foolish build barriers, we must find a way to look after one another as if we were one single tribe.
Boom.
Boom.
Big boom.
That's leadership. That's creating a future and having your people follow that like a magnet with velocity. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. You can find the Dudes of Disruption podcast on iTunes and on Podomatic. If you want to learn more about our men's group, our social political action group, how to contribute and donate to our Haiti service trip, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. If you want individual coaching, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. And we end all episodes with a Dr. Seuss quote, who is a Hall of Fame disruptor. Don't cry because it's over.
Smile big, 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 big.
Huge. Smile. Because it happened.
Boom.